First, as people gear up for Memorial Day around the state, the unofficial start of the summer also means that people will start dusting off their grills to kick off grilling season.
And on this week's Food Friday, we'll get smart advice about how to make the best barbecue when you fire up the grill from a dad and a daughter who've been barbecuing together for years.
We've got Mike Mills with us now, champion pitmaster, head of the 17th Street Barbecue in Murfreesboro, Illinois. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
And also with us is daughter Amy Mills. She grew up with barbecue as a barbecue consultant herself, and their new cookbook is Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, Mike, you're a legend in the barbecue world, but how did you get started? How did you become a pitmaster?
Well, just by barbecuing, actually. I grew up by... standing in the crib, looking out the window, watching my dad barbecue in the backyard. And that was just something that he did weekly, and all the neighbors would bring food in, and he would cook for all of them, you know, plus for the family. And it's just something that I have done all my life, and even after my father passed, I mean, all his brothers were barbecuers. As a family, we get together on the weekends. It's just been something we've done and a family affair.
So is there still a lot of family knowledge that goes into what you do today?
Yes, I would say that there is, because each one was very verbal and had their opinion, and were free to give it. But, you know, and as each one would practice and... There's always a barbecue is a controversial type food anyway, of how you prepare it and how you do it and the results that you happen to get. Each person has their own trade secrets, so to speak.
And Amy, reading your book, it's not just about the food. Part of the story here is about family and community and bringing people together, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think a barbecue restaurant is the town hall and the kind of the community seat of a place. And we have learned over the years, as people have traveled from all over the world on a daily basis to visit us, they're certainly coming for barbecue, but they're also coming for community, and they're really wanting to be part of our family. And once they've been here and, you know, sat around our fire and eaten in our restaurant and bellied up to our vintage bar, you know, it feels like home, and they keep coming back again and again.
What do you think it is, Amy, about barbecue in particular that lets all that stuff you just described happen that maybe wouldn't happen if you were, you know, the owner of a French bistro?
I think it has something to do with fire. Fire is just this very primal thing. You know, people are always drawn to a hearth or to a fire. We have a fire pit outside, and people always stop and gather there for a little bit. And, you know, barbecue is very personal. There are no two barbecues that are the same. You know, John Shelton Reed, the well-known North Carolinian barbecue historian, has likened it to the wine in France. If you drive 20 miles, the flavor changes. And I think that's very true about barbecue. And so people come, you know, sometimes they're looking for a taste from home. Sometimes they're thinking, oh, well, that's, you know, that barbecue's pretty good. Not as good as mine or not as good as my daddy made, but it's pretty good. And once they think that or say that to us, we know we've done our job. If you can come in first or come in second or third to somebody else's favorite barbecue, you're winning, I think. But there's just something uniquely American about barbecue. I think it really is one of our original cuisines and our, you know, our original soul and comfort food, and people just flock to it.
Mike, tell us about some of your favorite flavors and spices. What are the key things you like to work with?
Well, of course, pork is probably the most flavorful flavor that you can have out there, you know, that people barbecue with. But the hot item right now is brisket nationwide. The brisket is a special flavor profile.
And yeah, and you've got a lot of, I'm sorry, I wanted to get into some of the spices. You've got a lot of rubs and sauces in there. What kind of flavors do we want to get on our brisket and on our ribs?
Well, of course, you have the pepper, I'm going to tell you, the We put a lot of dry rub on it. As far as I call it a dry rub. It's garlic, you know, garlic granular, the pepper, the mustard. Mustard slather that's on there when you get a combination of all these items, it really adds flavor.
On brisket especially, too, you know, we use an 18-mesh grind pepper, and it really mellows out in the cooking process, but it gives it just that, it melds with the juiciness and with all the flavorful fat in beef and really gives it a big, bold taste. You know, you need something that's a little bit heavier to stand up to brisket. But on our ribs, Daddy, you should tell them about the magic dust, the pure magic.
Magic dust. I like the sound
of
that.
And that shows up a lot in your cookbook.
Yes, it does.
Well, the magic dust, without it, you just couldn't have barbecue. but it's a combination of spices that, of course, originally has salt, pepper, red pepper, garlic granular, onion granular. There's actually about 18 different spices, and it's all in very few denominations, and it lends to anything that your taste buds might be drawn to. And I've noticed that over a period of time, depending on what a person, how their taste buds are as to what they pick out of the spice, of the barbecue rub. Some flavors they'll never detect because for whatever reason their mouth does not taste those items.
Wow.
It's there, but they don't really realize what that is because it's not something that they can definitely pick out.
And can you make kind of a big vat of that magic rub and then just keep it around for your grilling for a month or so?
Yes, we do that. We make it by the 100 pounds at a time.
But at home, you can definitely make it, you know, a few cups at a time, and it will keep, especially if you use fresh spices, you know, a good 6 months or more. You can even keep it in the freezer. The recipe that we provide in the book, and in the book, you know, this is a derivation of our magic dust called Pure Magic, and that recipe makes about 2 1/4 cups. We use it on everything. It's good on French fries. It's good on popcorn. You know, my dad jokingly says it's good on everything but ice cream.
It's not good on ice cream. I tried it.
You tried it. You put it to the test. That's great.
Yes.
We're talking to Mike Mills and Amy Mills. Their new cookbook is Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. Well, you mentioned recipes. We've got a couple of your recipes on the Central Time Facebook page and at WPR.org. And, you know, I'm not a big brisket guy, but I do love ribs. And I got to say, I'm not very good at grilling a Mike. Can you tell me, basic level, what's going to make me better at grilling some ribs?
Turn your heat down.
That's a big part of where I go wrong, I think, yeah.
Yes, most people do it too hot. Their fire is too hot. Try to get it to where you can have a fire that is manageable, and you really... most times it is on the hot side. It's going to burn quickly. Those are very fragile. The ribs are very fragile. And I normally have a heat index of around 200, 210, basically never over 225. When you start getting up higher than that, then it's hard to control. And the more you mess with them and try to cool that down and try to get it back to where it should be, it seemed like the hotter it will get.
And that's a rule of thumb in your book. You say try to cook at the lowest temperature that you can get away with. And I think that surprises a lot of people who think you want to sear it and char it and get it done fast.
Absolutely. And that is, in my personal opinion, that's where they make a mistake, is trying to do. Ribs are very fragile. They're not very thick, you know. And you gotta kind of baby them along a little bit. And, you know, you don't want to keep flipping them and drying them out. The more times you turn the meat, the more it will dry out. And that's a fact on any piece of meat that you happen to be cooking. The more times you turn it, the drier it's going to be. No matter what it happens to be that I am aware of it, you know, I don't care if it was an egg. You keep turning it, you're going to dry it out. but so therefore, cuts your heat down a little bit to where it's manageable and you're not fighting the heat all the time. You're not fighting the that part of it to where that you can have time to let it soak in and cook evenly all the way through.
And Amy, is this ribs a good place to use that magic dust?
Absolutely. That magic dust is delicious on all kinds of pork. It's good on beef, too, but really, I think it really shines on pork.
We're talking with Mike and Amy Mills right now on this week's Food Friday. Their new cookbook is called Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about barbecuing? Do you have a mistake you make again and again? They can maybe help you solve it. Do you have some tips and secrets of your own to share with us? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Oh, yeah, what's going on the grill this weekend for you? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our conversation about how to kick up our barbecuing technique with Mike and Amy Mills. They're the co-authors of the new book called Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. And they run the famous 17th Street Barbecue in Murfreesboro, Illinois.
You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you need grilling advice? Maybe for something you're planning on grilling this weekend, or do you have a secret, a strategy of your own, a favorite crowd pleaser? And what do you like about barbecue? Do you bring people together? Do you make it a community, neighborhood, family event when you fire up the grill? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find a couple of recipes from our guests on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Amy, what do you have to have on the side when you've got some tremendously tasty barbecue on the table? Maybe you've got your brisket or your baby back ribs. What needs to go alongside all that?
Well, we think that barbecue sides are equally as important as the meat, and we take great care in preparing those, and we've provided some of our very favorite recipes in this book. One of our most popular is our tangy pit beans. And they are unusual in that we have four or five different types of beans, and they're both sort of savory and sweet at the same time. We have a lot of different spices. We put some honey in there. We put some of our Pure Magic dry rub. They really have a lot of different textures and flavors, and I think they really hold up well to all of the flavors in the meat.
We've got a recipe for that actually linked again on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. Al is with us in Eau Claire. Al, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I got a quick question. I got like a cheaper grill. My thing, what I want to do is, should I get a grill with like the flip-open grate to add more coals to keep my cooking time longer? Or can I get away with lifting up the grate and throwing in more coals, or am I going to throw a lot of ash everywhere?
Al, thanks for the call. Mike, any advice?
Yes, whenever you're messing with your coals, sometimes people think it takes a lot more coals than what it actually takes to create the amount of heat that you need. Adding them very slowly, you know, using a good charcoal, one that doesn't is not full of... I don't know what I want to call them.
Like chemicals or?
Yeah, full of chemicals, full of other
fillers.
Dirt filler, something. But you know, and you can use either a charcoal that is solid charcoal. It's the only thing in it is some cornstarch to help hold it together. But don't add so much, don't get it so hot, and try to go for so long. Add just a little bit as you go along in order to keep a small fire. It doesn't take much to have a 200 or 225 degree temperature, and especially depending upon the you know the grill that you have in your backyard. It's hard to tell you exactly how much, but I'm going to tell you a double handful of coals. Turned off gray is a lot of heat.
Well, Al, I hope that helps. Good luck with your barbecuing there. As we talk with Mike Mills, champion pitmaster, and Amy Mills, Mike's daughter, and they run the 17th Street Barbecue together, and they co-authored the new book we're talking about today called Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. And you can call us with your questions, your favorite recipes, any tricks you have, family, ingredients, recipes for your favorite barbecue. Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let us know if you've already had your first grill out of the season. Maybe you never stop. Some people do it year-round. What about the two of you? Are you year-round? You do it at your restaurant, but do you do it outside, even in the winter months?
Absolutely. There is no season for barbecue. And I think, you know, obviously the media always has a barbecue and grilling season in the summer, but really I think it's a year-round sport these days.
Mike, I wanted to ask you about adding wood to the grill. What kind of wood can we add to add flavor to a brisket or our ribs?
You know, any barbecue wood that's, when I say barbecue wood, whatever flavor, I'm just not big on certain ones that put off a very strong, like a mesquite, this type thing. But one of the best, I use apple. It has a skin instead of a heavy bark. If you use a heavy barked wood, your meat is going to darken. It's going to blacken on you. If you use the inside wood of any variety, whether it happens to be oak, pecan, I use a lot of pecan. I think that it's really a great wood. Any other type of wood, just use it a little at a time. You don't need great amounts of wood. Also, I would say that if you are using something with a bark on it, try to use as much inside rather than the bark, because it will darken. There's not much you can get away from on certain things. It doesn't make any difference if it turns black, but it's just not as pretty.
All right. Well, thank you for that advice there about the wood. And let's take a call. We've got Bob from Lake Navacagan. Am I pronouncing that right, Bob? I've seen that lake my whole life, and I don't know if I ever heard anyone say it out loud.
Lake Navacagan.
Ah, Lake Navacagan. All right. Tell us, Bob, what's your question?
I got a comment. I fixed a lot of my griller problems by getting a pellet grill. They're wonderful, and they got like 20 different types of pellets, flavors. And the question is, how do you get barbecue sauce to stick to chicken?
That's a good question. All right. Thank you, Bob, and thanks for that pronouncer for me. And Amy or Mike, I don't know who wants to field that one. What do you think?
I think that our barbecue sauces actually are very thin. We apply them in several coats right before we take the meat off the pit. And we're really wanting, you know, when you eat barbecue, we think you should taste three or four different flavors. You should taste a kiss of smoke, not over-smoked. You should taste the meat itself and be able to tell what kind it is. You should taste some spice in the form of the dry rub or any, the seasoning that you use. And then, you know, the tangy flavor of the sauce. And all of those things in perfect proportion make that rodeo in your mouth and that really delicious barbecue. So we are not huge fans of thick barbecue sauce that stays on chicken. We really like to layer several thin coats near the end, let it dry, add another coat, and we think that provides a really nice amount of barbecue sauce. You can always add more on the plate, too, if you really like that sauce.
Oh, nice.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Amy.
And Mike, that reminds me, you make a strong case for if we're using a soda or ketchup or anything, you want us to use ones with cane sugar, not high fructose corn syrup. You taste the difference between them.
I taste the difference, and also just health-wise, it's a better product all the way around if you'll use that, yes.
And as we get going here into grilling season, what's something new do you think that we should be trying to kick up our barbecuing to the next level that maybe, you know, we haven't done? What do you think?
I think fruit is a really great thing to grill. You can eat it on its own. You can squeeze the juices and make cocktails. You'll see that we have a whole chapter on cocktails in the book, and we heavily utilize some grilled fruit in those things. And fruit in barbecue sauce, I think, is very popular these days as well. While we love the traditional flavors, it's fun to experiment with some new things as well.
And Mike, as we wrap up, I mean, you do this professionally, obviously, at the restaurant all over the country. Do you still host a fun family or neighborhood barbecue at home, even though it's your day job, too?
Believe it or not, I do. I love doing it. I love the people. I love to be around the barbecue. I just like the live fire that comes off of it and the way it slows life down.
Why do you think it does that? Why do you think it slows life down?
I think that we all get to thinking about the camaraderie between the people, and we're not worried about all the daily details. I mean, the conversations that go on around a fire are not normally about the politics and all of that. It's just about life in general and the kids and the family and this type of thing that happens at nighttime with that fire going on, or even daytime too, but a lot of times it's at night or late evening. And I think the conversation is just completely different than it is on a daily basis.
That's a great place to leave it. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us, and happy barbecuing to everyone out there.
And Amy, thanks to you as well. Thanks.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Mike Mills and Amy Mills, father and daughter team, long history of barbecue, especially at the 17th Street Barbecue in Murfreesboro, Illinois. They've helped open barbecues in New York City, all over the country, really. Their new cookbook is called Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. And you can find links to their recipes for baby back ribs with a couple of those rubs they talked about, and from scratch baked beans over at the Central Time Facebook page.